Welcome into the latest episode of the Five on the Floor podcast on the Five Reasons Sports Network. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can find me at Ethan J. Skolnick. Before we get to today's episode, I want to tell you about one of the great sponsors of this podcast and the network. You see us tweeting about them all the time, and that's BetDSI. BetDSI.com is where you want to go to place all of your bets on the weekend and during the week. I went there last week. I used my promo code 5101. That's F-I-V-E 101. Bet against the Dolphins before the game, for the entire game, and then was like, okay, I'm going to bet against them for the first half too, and won both. So not always going to go that way, but you can bet in-game. If it doesn't go so well in the first half, you can bet halfway through. And, of course, you can still bet the futures. The Heat right now are at about 43.5, I believe, at BetDSI, so make sure you check that out if you want to go over. Also, I saw that the Florida Panthers are at 95.5 points, which I went over for them last year. Basically lost that bet in the first month. But go to BetDSI.com. Again, that's BetDSI.com. Use the promo code 5101. Make sure you do it because you get a special bonus. It gives you a little bit more money to play with in case things don't go right. And now, on to today's episode.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a Miami Heat and NBA podcast from Ethan Skolnick with Alphon Sydney, a.k.a. Alf954. Brought to you by the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, Ethan Skolnick back here. We've been doing this series, and something happened in the midst of the series. We did the first two with Alex Toledo and my usual co-host, Alphon Sydney, both of whom you got to know from the podcast Miami Heat Beat. And we did two episodes. One was about Jimmy Butler and whether he was a true number one, and the other was about who the point guard is going to be on this team, Justice Winslow or Goran Dragic. And the idea here is we're getting into sort of what we see as the five issues going into camp. But Alf was not available today, and neither was Alex. So look who's here. How sick are you, Johnny?
I'm so sick. I couldn't even do my own show yesterday. I had so much planned, and here I am doing your show, sick, flu gaming it.
Well, okay, what did you have? Because we were talking about this off air. There's really nothing to talk about right now unless you're really creative like me. What did you have planned exactly?
I was basically just going to talk about how good I think Justice Winslow is for the 20th time. That was the plan.
All right, so you're perfect for this episode also. All right, if you don't know Giancarlo Navis, you can follow him on Twitter at gnavis103. Of course, Johnny used to be in my network, or our network, and he and Heatbeat fled a couple of months ago. But I figure before we get to the episode and the topic we're going to get into, a bit of an announcement. You want me to do this, or you want to do this?
You do it. You're good at announcements. You lead the league in announcements.
I do lead the league. I make them every day. It just shows that we're doing something, even if nothing's really being monetized. Anyway, so here's the thing, as I used to say on the radio. Heatbeat is not coming back into the network as a podcast. They're with Blue Wire Pods and very happy there, and that's a national network, and they're the Miami Heat representative in our market. But several of the contributors to Miami Heatbeat will be contributing to Five Reasons Sports, especially on the website, fivereasonsports.com. And other content. So we still have a very healthy relationship. This was not bitter or anything like that, right, Johnny? We had lunch
the other day. Ethan was even going to pay for me.
You know, I was. I went to the bathroom and I came back and you paid for your half. Which
I feel bad because I never sold an ad, so it was my way of apologizing.
That's true. You never sold an ad. You didn't even come close. There wasn't even.
I came kind of close. There was one deal that I was closing in on. And then they kind of ghosted me. So, I get ghosted by women and by potential sponsors.
That was going to be my joke. You're stealing the jokes. All right, so anyway, could we go over some of the contributors? Because you know your staff better than me. And who's going to be helping? Other than, obviously, Alf and Alex, who, you know, I've kind of stole Alf anyway. And Alex is going to be doing a lot more work.
It's shared custody. You know, we have shared custody of Alf. You get him on the weekends. I get him, some of the weekdays. You know, some days he wants to go drink. It depends. He's kind of hard to pin down.
Oh, that sounds like another part of my life, except that the person I'm trying to get shared custody of doesn't drink except apple juice. So it's fine. So Alf drinks a little stronger stuff.
Alf drinks Crown.
Alf drinks Crown. And we also have shared custody of Tropical Blanket, Alex Toledo, too, because he's going to be doing some producing for us and appearing on the podcast, and he'll be at Media Day for
my
us,
first
too.
Fun.
Yeah, your first son. All right, so who else is – because I don't even know. I mean, this is how well you communicate. This is kind of how you ended up out of the network in the first place because you just communicate that you just bolted. Who is it on the on Heat Beat that's going to be helping me out so I know?
So a little bit of everybody. First and foremost, myself, yours truly. You get my misspellings all over your website again. You know, it'll be Christian, Brass. Brass is really excited to take pictures for you. He even bought a new camera. Brass Jazz, Nikias, Christian Hernandez, Brian Goyne, Alf, Alex, Mr. Lefty Leif, Saucy Nuggets Insider, doing mm-hmm. some reporting. So you get a little bit of everybody. You get a Heat Beat sampler on 5ReasonSports.com.
Heat Beat sampler buffet potpourri. All right, terrific. So, okay, so that's good. I have to deal with all you guys again. That's fantastic. I don't know what to sign up for. All right, so let's get to the episode, right? Because, I mean, you're supposed to be an expert at this, and we are in competing pods now. So I'm going to, after we get done, I'll pull this, and I'll make sure it's spelled incorrectly in your honor.
Yes.
Pull this, and I will ask who did a better job. But here's the topic today. Who is going to be the second star on this team now and in the future? And we've already talked about Jimmy Butler on this pod. He's going to be the first guy. We talked a little about Justice Winslow and Goran Dragic and who's going to be the starting point guard. And I think that plays into this question a little bit. I've done a podcast with Bam Adebayo. Obviously, Bam is eating a bunch of cheeseburgers, but there's high expectations for him this season too. But when we ask about a second star, G, like looking at the SI.com list, you know, you had Jimmy Butler at number 11 and Bam Adebayo at 93. No Justice Winslow. So if you're looking at like 93 and there's 30 teams, they're saying that Bam Adebayo would ideally be the fourth best player on your team, not the second. And they don't have Justice as one of the top four. Top of your head, this season, okay, not looking forward, but this year, who is going to be the guy who helps Jimmy Butler the most?
So, yeah, that's kind of interesting because it could go one of two ways, right? So if Eric Spoelstra decides to empower Winslow and put him as point guard, that's a different answer than if he just throws him at small forward, where I really don't think he's the most effective guy. So I think he's probably the second most talented player on the team, and I know that's probably a little controversial. But if he's not really put in his best position, I don't really think he'll be able to make the impact that can help, like, vault him into the second guy. I don't want to minimize contract year Goran, who would be starting. Goran's still really, really damn good, right? So I think him in a contract year, playing alongside Jim, does this sound sacrilegious? Is Jimmy's is the best player he's played alongside since he's been here, right? So we've had Dwayne on the decline.
No, that's fair. Well, because he really didn't play with Bosch, right?
That's the thing. Yeah, he had first of Chris Bosch, and Bosch was really good right before he got here. Chris Bosch was like playing possessed before Goran got here. So I really think that it's kind of Goran or Winslow, depending on how you look at it. I don't think Bam's going to be able to contribute offensively to that extent yet. I do think that I don't want people to get disappointed in Bam when he's just improved from last season and he's not averaging 15 and 12. I want people to slow down there because I don't think he's ready offensively, but he will be. He's a really good passer. He does a lot of great things, and he's going to continue to improve. I just don't think he'll be there next season.
So you mentioned, and this gets into the topic that Alf and I were talking about with Alex. You mentioned, you know, what position Winslow plays. So let me throw out some different combinations to you. And you tell me where Justice – because, and I may disagree with you a little bit about one comment you made, and I'll get to that in a second. But where Justice would have a chance to sort of blossom and be the second guy. So let's say the starting lineup is Justice, Dion, and Jimmy. And let's say the starting lineup is Justice, Goran, and Jimmy. In which of those two scenarios do you think Justice would have a better opportunity? Because with the one with Dion, he's playing point guard. But he's also playing with a guy who's going to, you know – monopolize the ball, right? The one with Goran, he's not really playing point guard, but could be at times if they could figure out how to make it work. So which of those two scenarios would Justice have the best chance to blossom and be the second guy for Jimmy?
So one of them is Goran Dion and the other one is Goran Jimmy?
No. So we're looking at Justice, Goran, they're both Jimmy. Justice, Goran,
okay,
Justice,
got you.
Dion.
One with Dion and one with Goran.
Right.
I'd probably say the Goran, you know, because I do think Dion's going to be doing a lot of the ball handling anyway. He does bring the ball up a lot. And I think a part of that, it doesn't have as much context because I do think that Winslow's a really good rebounder. When he rebounds the ball, he's going to be allowed to push off the rebound. So if they go bigger lineups with better rebounders and he's not really in there, it's really going to, I think that's going to affect how effective he'll be bringing the ball up because it's different when Deion's getting the ball, and then he walks the ball up half court, and then they set up their offense, as opposed to Winslow getting it, and now Winslow suddenly in control from coast to coast. I will probably say the Goron lineup, just because I think that he's – I just think Goron probably helps make him a little better, and I do think Goron has played off the ball a lot, and I do think that Deion will do a lot of the handling anyway. So I don't think it will be much of a difference, but probably the Goron lineup.
All right, now let me get to another comment you made where, and you said this will be a little bit controversial. The idea that Justice is the second most talented guy on the team. I'm not there. I think it's Bam. And I understand what you're saying about don't let the expectations get ahead of you this year. And you're right. He's not going to be putting up 15 and 12 consistently. Although if you look at the numbers he was putting up when he was a starter, I do think that he can do that fairly often enough, okay, that I think that people will see the progress. But he's going to have some clunkers, too, because he's going to have to adjust.
What is 15 and 12? Like Clint Capela? You know what I mean? Like, are we really raving about 15 and 12? Like, are we saying 15 and 12 is, like, franchise changing?
No, but I don't think that – I think the 12 is the part he's going to – I don't know that he's going to be –
They're going to need the 12 more than anything because this team's going to suck at rebounding.
They are, but I don't know – he's not a great rebounder at this stage. I think he can be, but he's not Hassan. I mean, if there's a place they're going to miss Hassan – you know, other than some of the rim protection, that's it. So, I there's a lot of places they won't miss us on that they're going to be much better off with Bam.
And memes. They're going to miss us on with
memes, yes, and talking to fish, right? But, I mean, those are things that Bam doesn't do, but he does eat cheeseburgers against Kobayashi, which strikes me as a very Hassan thing to do, right? So
it is.
Right. So I mean, he's taking on the mantle. Yeah, it's just not as toxic. But I don't think when you look at the rebounding, I think that may be down. I actually think he's going to score. I'm not saying it's going to be more than 15 on average, but I think he's going to score more than some people think he is, because I do think that Jimmy is a good passer. And, you know, if you have
great,
you know,
great pick and roll player,
terrific,
exceptional
right.
pick and roll player.
Right. And so I think the two of them, I think that Bam's going to get a lot of easy ones. He's going to get some rim runs and some dunks in that sense. They're not going to be throwing the ball down to him to post a bunch. I'm curious to see if he can develop the 10 to 12 foot jumper just to keep people honest, but I do think that he's going to have some games where he kind of just falls into 13 to 16. And so I think that I'm just going to go based on conversations I've had with people inside the team. They like Justice, okay, and they think that people gave up on Justice too soon. And when I say they, I mean there's disparate opinions in the organization. I try to draw sort of a general picture, but Bam's the guy that was untouchable. And that's why I come back to the idea that I think that from a overall talent perspective, Bam's skill set to me is more unique than what Justice could provide. And I'm a big Justice supporter, but I think, as you say, pure talent, I think it might be Bam. I think the reason it might be Justice over Bam this year, and I actually think it may be somebody else instead of either of them. The reason I think it could be Justice over Bam is just that Justice has more experience. I mean, he's been through this. And he's already sort of broken out in some ways, the shooting 38% from three the past 2 years, doing it on twice the volume. So,
Would you say Justice is the smartest player on the team, basketball IQ-wise?
I think Justice picked up a lot of Dwayne last year.
Goran's really brilliant. I don't want to downplay Goran. I mean, talking to Goran, that guy is a savant. But
yeah, but I think so well, bright. I think the thing about Justice and intelligence, and again, everything's on a curve here because – and I cover it on a day-to-day basis, what I thought was the smartest team maybe, the NBA seen in the last 25 years, which was, kind of the third-year Big Three team when you had, basically James Jones, Ray Allen, Chris Bosh, Battier, reading finance books before the game, right? And then, add to that LeBron's basketball IQ, Dwayne's basketball IQ, Udonis's just general intelligence. I mean, that was, one of the smartest teams, I think that's ever been, put together. But and then they added Beasley. But I mean, they had to bring it down a little bit. We love Bees. Maybe he'll end up.
I love you, Mike.
Yeah, we love Michael. But I think on this team, Jimmy's basketball IQ is very high. Like if you talk to people who've covered him, and the way he challenges reporters, also, there's a little LeBron in there with him. So I don't want to underestimate that. But I do think the thing that Justice picked up last year was slowing the game down. Like he played at his own pace last year, particularly as he was getting an increased run at point guard. And I thought that was most impressive, G, because he's playing a new position And yet he was doing it the way he wanted to do it. And I just think you can't underestimate the Dwayne influence there. There's so many parts of Justice's game that looked to me like Dwayne when you were watching it up close last year. So I think he's going to take a big jump. I think from a pure talent standpoint, Bam is more talented. But maybe when you add in kind of the increased basketball IQ that Justice has developed, that he's there. But I'm going to make a case. I think there's two other guys that could be the answer to this question this year. And you mentioned one, which is Goran. I just don't know. To me, a lot of that, I almost think it's better for Goran. And I think Alex, myself, and Alf all agreed on this. I think Goran has a better chance to be the second player on this roster if he's coming off the bench. Why not? Because if he's going to play both roles off the bench and playing against second team guys, how many backup point guards in the league are better than Goran Dragic right now? How good is he going to look against them?
No, that's fair. But I do think that there's a difference between being like a six man. Like, you can be Lou Williams, right? But Lou Williams is also playing crunch time offense, right? Lou Williams is also the guy creating at the end of the game. So when you're talking about a guy that I'm supposed to think of as the number two guy, it's a guy that's going to torch starters too. Like, I want Goran at the end of the game, not just. So when you say off the bench, yeah. I like that for that reason, what you're saying, and also because it allowed Justice to play point guard. But I do think what's going to be really important for Goran is how they close games with him and how, like, that's why I look at him as a number two, not just because he'll be able to just, like, run around, you know, Nando DeColo or whoever the hell.
Is Nando DeColo still in the league? Is he?
I don't know. I've seen Nando DeColo's name too many times, at least Cola, in the last couple weeks.
I feel like he's an eternal Spur. He was like the one guy the Spurs picked up from overseas that didn't end up working out. I understand what you're saying.
He's the epitome of backup point guard.
Right. Well, yeah. When I look at Goran's situation right now, I just think him coming off the bench, getting settled in that role, saving his body a little bit, which is something he clearly needs to do.
That's important.
After the past few years, like, I could see him giving you 16 and a half off the bench. And, like, if that's going to happen and giving you the nights that Dwayne gave you and then being on the floor a lot during the end of games, which sometimes he hasn't been with the Heat, I think that, you know, he presents such a different option for you that I think he could become the second guy. But I think the other guy that I don't want to overlook, and
I know what you're going to say.
You know I'm not a Deion guy.
I knew you were going to go Deion. I knew it.
But I just have this feeling, because if you go back 3 years, it was really him, right?
I'm in the tank for him. I agree. I'm here for it.
Right. And if he's in shape and he's going to be 2 years out from his next contract, and he plays off doubts, and he did develop a part of his game at the end of last year. I didn't like watching it, him chucking 13 threes, but he shot him at about 36.5%. So, again, it's a style, and it's not personal for me, to be honest. It's just a style thing. You know I don't like that style of basketball. But I do think that if he and Jimmy develop an us-against-the-world kind of kinship, and Jimmy adopts him, like, I think his relationship with Deion could go one of two ways. Right? It's either going to be really, really good or really, really bad. And I think we're going to know early. And if it's really good, then think of it this way. If he's in the starting lineup and he's getting 33, 35 minutes and he's in shape and he's developed the three-point shot, and this team needs desperately three-point shooting. I mean, unless Harrow's going to play a lot, and he would play in place of Deion a lot, like, they don't have a lot, right? I mean, you're talking about Olynyk or Myers Leonard at the four. Bam hasn't developed it. Jimmy's not a good three-point shooter. Goran is, but it's got to be the right circumstance. They don't have a lot of shooting. And so that's going to fall to Deion. And I know people are going to say to me, well, you wanted him traded. I did, under the circumstances, but now I'm looking at the team and I'm looking at him getting his butt in shape and responding to what the Heat wanted him to do, and the contract, not contract year, but he's close enough to see the end of this one. What are the odds, if he starts, that he could become the second guy just this season?
Something I really like about Deion is that his willingness to take off the dribble threes, and that's something that the Heat offense has not really had since he's gone out. I think Josh tried it a little bit last year, but really went away from it later. It's not something that Dwayne was willing to do it, but Dwayne's not a great three-point shooter. Jimmy's not a good three-point shooter. Like you said about Harrow, we're not sure how much he's going to play. I think that that's an aspect that people aren't looking enough at. and how that's going to really open up the floor. And if he's willing to, I think what you're talking about in the relationship with Jimmy and Deion is going to be how willing he is to be off ball. He's not really an off ball mover. And I don't know how he's going to participate when Jimmy's in the pick and roll. But I think what we're saying here about him being the second guy is going to hinge on that. I think 100%.
Yeah, I could see that. And you're right. He has a skill set that they don't have. But what one of the things I want to see him do, though.
Him, I like off the bench, though. Like, more than Goran, I think that him.
But his personality, though. But see, that's the problem. Yes, I think you're right from a basketball perspective. But from a which one of these two guys will accept that? Let's be serious, right? I mean, which of those two guys is more willing? Goran made it clear when he came back last year he didn't want to stay on the bench. But Goran is more – he's older, he's more mature, he's more professional.
Goran's in a contract here, Ethan. How willing is Goran – this is Goran's last chance. And there's not really any free agents next season. So
no, there aren't, especially a point guard. There's like Jeff Teague. There's three or four guys. Like, that's it.
If there's a team that needs a point guard or if there's an injury late in the – you know what I mean? Like, that's a guy that people are going to want. So if I'm Goran, I'm not really sure that I really want to come off the bench.
That's true. How much does a Dwayne factor here? Because look, whatever on court sort of challenges Dwayne and Goran had playing together, there was a lot of mutual respect off the court. Whereas I just didn't get the sense with Deion and Dwayne that thing ever clicked in really any way. I don't know that the message that Dwayne sent to the organization going forward, that the best player in franchise history, I mean, we can talk LeBron, but the guy that everybody associates with the Heat was willing to do that. And what that means for other guys, like, I feel like that would register with Goran. I understand the contract year thing you're saying.
I don't think
it registers with Deion. That's just my hunch.
I think that'll register with someone like Winslow or Josh, right? If they were going to grow up to be good players, because it came at such an impactful time. But like, Goran played behind Steve Nash forever, and Steve Nash ain't coming off the bench, right? And like, Dwayne wasn't chasing paychecks, right? Dwayne was legacy padding. Dwayne was ingratiating himself to the city. And doing, you know, being the good soldier, Heat culture, yada, yada, yada. Goran's looking for a contract. I think that there's a clear distinction there. And Goran didn't play with Dwayne that long.
No, he didn't. Well, they played the 15-16 season. They played the whole way through. It was a challenge. And then, you know, Dwayne was gone. Dwayne came back. They played together a little bit. I mean, that was the whole thing. Like, the Dwayne-Goran Waiters combinations, like, never really happened, right? Because there was always one guy who was out. And you know, the other thing is, I understand what you're saying in the sense of Goran – coming back and wanting to prove himself, he just missed a ton of time for really the first time in his career. But if you get back to the free agent thing, how much does him wanting to maybe preserve his body a little bit, I mean, him preserving his body and getting through the season healthy might earn him an extra $2 or $3 million a year at the end of it. So
you think that guys are thinking about that like very actively while they're
No, and you're right. I mean, he hasn't missed it, but he's had so many nagging injuries the past few years. It's always been something, right? Like, and he plays at a speed and a pace that he really can't change. Like, he's not Dwayne in that sense. Like, Dwayne's pace totally changed.
I agree with you in theory. Mm-hmm. I totally agree with you in theory, by the way. But I do think that if you're Deion and if they're gonna start Jimmy Butler at the two, does Deion really have room to complain if Jimmy Butler's starting over him?
Oh, at the two? But who's starting at the three then? Oh, you're saying starting Winslow and Dragic basically with him.
Because
okay.
Just from the quotes that I've read, that's what it sounds like is going to happen. I mean, I don't want it to happen, but that's probably what it sounds like. So if that's really the way that they go, does Deion really have any room to complain? What's he going to say?
No, not if it's Jimmy. But the thing is, I mean, look, one domino piece leads to the other. Like, you're looking at Jimmy as the two in that scenario and Justice is the three. And I'm saying, I mean, they're really just both wings, right? Like, I mean, it's not – if they're – so I don't think Deion's going to – I mean, Jimmy could be the three and Justice could be the two. I mean, it's not – I don't think there's really any difference. So – and they're going to guard the other team's best perimeters anyway. The only other question about this is defensively, right? So – Goran has to be hid defensively at this point. Tyler Harrow probably has to be hid defensively at this stage, right? Deion, if he's healthy, doesn't have to be hid defensively.
No, he's good.
Right. So, I mean, if he's healthy and he's in shape. So, if you're going to roll out Deion, Justice, and Jimmy, I mean, that's the best defensive perimeter group you can throw out. It almost doesn't matter who the four is. And then you've got Bam at the five. It's probably going to be Olynyk in that scenario.
So, my big thing with that is – I'm not a big fan of a Goran Deion backcourt just for the reason that they're too small, Ernie. And I do think that that was a huge issue in the first half of last season, that they were really, really, really running with a super small backcourt.
and they were playing Josh at the three, and it was really weird. And I thought that the Heat's best stuff last season was Winslow and Richardson in the backcourt, not just because those are good players, just because they had size back there, because guards are big now. Point guards are big. Guys, there are big guards out of the league.
Let's look at the teams that they're going to have to deal with in the East. Philadelphia to start.
Philly, right? Huge. Right. Boston, huge.
Yeah, well, Philly is big at every position, right? Milwaukee is fairly big. I mean, Bledsoe is not, right? But
he has a giant wingspan.
Right, right. He plays at a different height than you.
A loss
you would
of Brogdon
suggest.
Changes things for Milwaukee, but
it does, although I like some of what they did to reshape it. I don't think their roster is as good as it was last year, but I think it's closer than I thought it was going to be when they lost Brogdon. But Toronto, obviously, we don't even know what that's going to look like.
My now. Raptors.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it depends
right.
if Masai is going to fire sale. I mean, that's like my most interesting subplot of the season. Like, what the hell is Masai going to do with a bunch of expiring?
Right. No, and he'll be aggressive. Like, and I think he had the expirings in mind when he got Kawhi and assumed Kawhi was probably going to leave anyway. And I mean, I'm a Masai stan, so he'll do something smart with it. But defensively, they could be really good if Deion's in shape. I don't like, you know, the Winslow Butler Deion combination offensively quite as much as I do with Goran. And I know some people will say, well, I don't understand that because then you've got Goran and Winslow fighting over the ball a little bit. Here's the difference. I trust Goran, and this has not always been a great thing when he did this with Dwayne, but I trust Goran to kind of get off the ball and sort of run to the corner, whereas I don't trust Deion to do that. Like, especially if Deion – and here's the other thing with Deion – it's kind of like you want him to be in shape and you want him to be healthy because he can make a real impact on this team. But if he's in shape and he's healthy and he's feeling good, you know what's happening, right? I mean, he's taking, yeah. right? He's going to take as many shots as Jimmy. Like, and that's one of the other things about
– I don't know if I like that.
Well, but I think it's very possible. And Jimmy's usage rate for a star is low. His usage rate is not – commensurate with being the 11th best player in the league, according to Sports Illustrated. It doesn't match.
I also
up
think
to that.
That's who he's played with, and they've played on very, like, playing in Minnesota. A lot of the offense ran through Towns, even though Jimmy was a perimeter guy, and also in Philadelphia. I mean, he was a closer, but a lot of stuff they run is little Embiid, Redick, give and goes, and stuff like that. So it doesn't really surprise me. I'm surprised it's not higher because of the Chicago stuff, because he was like literally by himself.
Yeah, well, that right, exactly. I mean, he didn't have much there. But it's a really interesting question because I do think it plays into who's going to be the second guy on this team. And when we're talking about all perimeter guys and not Bam. I think the only way it's Bam this season is if, honestly, if a guy like Deion is traded and they start to become a little bit more focused on the front court. But I don't think they get there this year.
How many big guys really make that kind of an impact offensively unless they're Gasol/Jokic-level passers?
Right. Well, but Bam is...
He's a good passer. He's not Jokic. Great from the elbow.
He's not Jokic, but compared to Hassan, he's like Jokic supreme. Like, it's like... it's going to look different. I mean, the ball's going to go to him. It's just a question of what he does with it. Now, if he's just feeding other guys, then obviously his numbers are not going to be huge.
How do you feel about him doing like Amari Stoudemire face-ups, like 10 feet from the basket? Like,
well,
I really want
no,
that.
No, that's what I'm talking about. If he can develop that 10 to 12 foot game, I would rather he develop that than the post game. To me, the post game is irrelevant for him. They're going to use him for vertical spacing, like you said, in the pick and roll with Jimmy. I think he'll be terrific in the same way that he would have been with Dwayne. And he was during that stretch when he was a starter. I don't think this has to be, he doesn't have old school thinking like Hassan does, where it's like, you got to give me the ball in the post. I'm going to pound it there for 7 seconds. That's not Bam. Like, he'll get off of it. And
I do think that for Hassan, it was a little bit of, he can't face up. He's too big to do that. So that was kind of his only option.
Right. But the other thing is, it's who Bam's playing with, right? If he's playing with DJJ, that's going to look a little different than him playing with Kelly, but he's had success. The Heat have had the most success statistically with him playing
Bam
with Kelly.
Line.
Right. Yeah. So I think that's where they're going to start. And that to me affects it. But so I guess the answer to the question that we had so far after the break, we're going to get into who it might be for the future. But I think for this year, it really could be, it could be Dragic, it could be Deion, and it could be Justice. And you know, I think if it's Deion, that's not the best case scenario from an efficiency standpoint. If it's Goran, it's not the best case scenario from a future standpoint. Justice would be ideal, but I'm not quite sure, unless, like you say, unless they're turning the ball
team will be
him
best
to make all the plays.
If it's Justice. The team Correct. Will be best if Justice is, becomes that.
Right, but I don't know if it's going to happen under the current circumstances. So after the break, we're going to get into who it might be in the future, maybe somebody off of the roster. But first, I want to tell you about another great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network. That's Magic City Casino. If you haven't been out to the High yet, that's JAI. You got to check it out on Friday and Saturday nights. You know where Magic City Casino is, close to the airport in Miami. Great place to go bet on just about anything. But one of the cool things you can bet on is Hi-Li. So go out there. They've got indoor lawn game area. They've got a full bar. They've got food for you out there. It's a party scene before you go out. So before you decide to go to Wynwood or South Beach or my neck of the woods up in Broward, where Johnny doesn't like to travel to, make sure you check out Magic City Casino. That's JAI. It's a quintessential Miami sport. It's a lot of fun. Alf and I went out there a couple weeks ago. The BallsCast guys have been out there. I don't know if they'll be invited back, but definitely check out the High and Magic City Casino. All right, before we close this episode, I think the consensus of most people, G, is that the number two option on this team ultimately is either going to be Jimmy Butler or is not on the team yet. Would you agree with that? That as we're looking ahead a year from now, that the guy who's going to be the complimentary star to Jimmy Butler is not currently on this team?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Elaborate.
I was gathering my thoughts. It's because I guess I'm so Beal blind, right? So I think that that's the guy that I want most, just because I'm so high on him. Their cap situation's a little weird because they're about to come into a bunch of money in the second year, and Jimmy's gonna be a little older. I don't think mm-hmm. we talk about that enough, that his age may not match up with the next guy that's going to come in. So I really think whatever guy they bring in next is going to be the number one option whenever they get here, whether it's Beal, or I'm sure they're going to make a play for Giannis. And yeah, probably, I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that they're going to try. So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I don't think that anybody on, like, I hate to sound anti-Bam, because I'm not anti-Bam. I think Bam is terrific. I think that every team, to win a championship, you're going to need a guy who has that level of basketball IQ, that level of athleticism, that level of defensive prowess, and just a good passing big man, does all the stuff that you need. Like, I think Bam is, like, really good, and I think he's going to be a really, really, really good player. I just don't look at him as, okay, this is a cornerstone of every single thing we do. I have never seen him that way. And it's probably because it's a perimeter-oriented league, and unless you're Jokic, you know what I mean? That's not really how the league functions.
But nobody thought it was going to be Jokic either. And so, I mean,
I think when Jokic was in the league, I think it was pretty, there were people that were saying, and I used to make fun of Nikias for this all the time, but I mean, he was saying, like, Jokic's first or second year, like, I'd rather have him than LeBron for the next 10 years, which is, like, I still make fun of him because it's still a ridiculous take, but like, it's not like people didn't see it, right? It's like, there was clearly something very special and different about this guy. Bam doesn't have that.
No, but Bam has some things that Jokic doesn't have, and I'm not going to compare him to Jokic as a passer, because there's nobody
less than 40% body fat.
Well, right. Okay, he doesn't look like a plumber, right? In part, right? So, you know, although he might after eating all those cheeseburgers, but the thing about it was, I mean, even Denver wasn't convinced. I mean, they drafted Jokic in the second round. They drafted Nurkic before him. And Nurkic was actually the starter ahead of him for a while. And it was only when Nurkic got cleared out that all of a sudden Nurkic blew up in Portland and Jokic really
blew. Yeah, but they traded Nurkic to give Jokic more runs.
I understand that. But I don't know that we should pigeonhole and say, because the league doesn't have this kind of guy now, that it can't happen, especially when Bam has a lot of the attributes that you need to have as a modern big. I think from a personality standpoint, Bam fits the profile he has from the very beginning. You know, I remember the night that he was drafted, and somebody who's, you know, pretty high up with the Heat basically said, look, we did more research on this guy than we've ever done anybody else. He's the anti-Hassan. That's what they said to me on draft night, okay? They felt incredibly good about where he was in terms of his makeup, and it's only gotten better, okay? I don't know what happened in Vegas, okay? Stayed in Vegas. But it's only gotten better since, and when you talk to people inside the organization, like, the way that Riley and Spoelstra talked about Bam after the season was what I'd been hearing about him for months behind the scenes. And so they're gushing about him. And, you know, Udonis has basically anointed him the one. Zoe has basically anointed him the one. I mean, those two guys are, that phrase you guys love, Heat culture personified. That's the two, right? And so I think they see something. They wouldn't be pushing it just because they think he's a nice guy. Like, I
no, I believe I that they believe it. I mean,
right. But I think they see MG. I think they see MG as a front-facing person on this franchise, as part of a, you know, possible big three. I agree with you that it's harder from his particular position. I just have always said, if I'm going to trade one of them, I trade Justice, because I think the Bams are harder to find right now than the Justices, just in terms of the way that they play. But I agree with you in the sense that the guy's probably not on the roster yet. I think ultimately Bam and or Justice, if he's still here, because he might be the piece that has to be traded, Bam and or Justice fits in as the third piece. And
do you
Harrell
think
maybe
that
is the fourth.
Line- and not trade Bam for a whale?
I think they might.
Like,
I don't
if
think
it's, th- if it's that, Bam and two picks for Beal, do they just say no thanks?
I think they might, man. I think they might. I
you
really
think
do.
They just say no, we're keeping him? Like, no, this we're not moving him and two picks for Beal or something like that.
I would be surprised based on what I'd heard was Bam was on the table for Kawhi, because everybody was. But I don't know necessarily that it would be on the table for Beal. He wasn't on the table for Jimmy. Now, I'm a bigger fan of Beal than Jimmy, only because, you know, of age and wear, right? And, you know, because Beal came.
Aren't Beal and Deion the same age?
Beal came in at 18, like 19, like he came in as a baby. And he's in his, what, seven seasons he's played now, and he's 26.
Deion's 26 too, though. That's
right.
Insane.
Right. Right, but Deion came in, but Deion played one extra. Deion was older than Beal when he came in. But I just do I think they would hold Bam back from a trade? I think they might if they don't think they have another option there, and they don't in their system. Like, who have they drafted or brought in that looks like Bam? I mean, they don't have that guy, right? Like, it's the Justices of the world, the Josh Richardsons of the world. Like, those players can be replaced because there are so many wings that you can go find. But to find a modern big these days who can pass, who can switch, who has shown, you know, some ability, as you said, to be a front-facing player like a Stoudemire, who runs the floor, who handles on the break. I mean, I don't know that Bam does anything great yet, but, like, I see the possibility for him to do everything well. You know, and rebounding,
you know,
I think, is the last thing that's going to come. But he, I think he can do everything well. I think he's the guy they would hold out, G.
The most important thing for, like, I haven't said this yet on the pod, but the most important skill that I think Bam should develop this season is his short rolling ability. Mm-hmm. And kind of a Draymond-esque being able to pass out of the short roll. Like, the league has moved so much into short roll action that, and Bam was doing some of that last season, and I think that was really encouraging. But especially when they don't really have great shooters, they're going to need some creative stuff. So if he's a guy that's going to be able to really, really, like, focus on his passing, pass out of the short roll, create opportunities like that, because he is a great big man threat in the pick and roll, that's going to open their game up even so much that I think the season is going to hinge on how much Jimmy makes the offense better. Because we know that they're going to be good defensively. They're always, closer teams are always. But this team is going to go as far as Jimmy makes them offensively better. And I think Bam is probably the second part of that and what he could do in pick and roll. I do think that that's where he's going to be the most important.
I agree. Now, the only thing that changes this dynamic a little bit is, do you include Bam in a trade for Blake Griffin?
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
see, in that case, I might, even though Blake has the injury history, and again, you'd have to look at Detroit's situation, because do they want Bam with Drummond, or would they be moving Drummond somewhere else? But if Blake becomes, and I feel like Detroit's loading up for this year, but I don't think it's going to work as well as people think. But if you're going big for big, and you're thinking you can get three or four more years out of Griffin at a high level, then maybe you do it. I don't think you include Bam for Beal. I think for Beal, it has to be Washington.
Why?
Basically,
why would you
keep him? What's that?
Why would you not? Why would you do it for Griffin but not for Beal?
It's just positional. I mean, I'm not saying that Blake Blake is not going to play the exact same spot as Bam, but it obviously.
Yeah, but Blake's not a center. So if you do it
for
Blake,
Blake,
you're still,
put Blake Cabley at four, and you could play him with someone like Kelly. I mean, that's what you would have to do. Now, you would have no...
Kelly's not a five either. So, like, what do you do? Like, you're sacrificing a lot defensively.
Agreed. But if you're really good defensively, then on the perimeter, then it may not matter as much. I just think that if you're trading for Beal, I think it's got to be Justice. Because trading for Beal and keeping Justice doesn't make a ton of sense either, necessarily. Again, I don't know that Goran's going to be here going forward. But you're going to have to give up something. It's going to have to be Justice or Bam. I would just give up Justice in that scenario.
It's going to have to be Goran and something else because you need the contract to match up. So it's going to be.
Right.
So what, you trade Goran and Justice and then you have no point guard?
Well, they'll have to find one. That's a good question. How do you feel about Kendrick Nunn?
I've made my opinions on Kendrick Nunn very clear in the past.
So you're not a fan?
I'm not a big Kendrick Nunn guy.
Okay, well, I actually thought he was the best player on the team in Summer League when I was out there.
He is a very talented player.
Yeah, but I'm curious. Well, I know they're high on him, but you know we haven't seen it in regular games. To get back to the point here, I think that the second best guy this year may end up being one of the two veterans, Goran or Dion, depending on usage and how they're handled. I think that going forward, if you look at which of the two young guys has a better chance to be the two, I think it's Bam over Justice. But I think that the number two is probably ultimately, and maybe the number one, if it's Beal, is ultimately probably Beal or Blake Griffin. I think that's, to me, that's where this thing is going.
I'm surprised that we're looking at trades rather than free agency.
Well, there's nothing in 2020. I mean, you want Gallinari?
Well, I mean, it's what, yes.
I mean, yes. I know you do, but like, I mean, if you look at 2020, there's literally nothing beyond AD. Like, it's nothing.
I am a Gallinari apologist. I love
and I like him, but he'll never stay that healthy again. But you're not talking about a class that's worth anything. So we're talking about 2021, and if that's the case, if you're going after one of the really big fish in 2021, whether it's Kawhi, whether it's Giannis, one of those guys, or whether it's Oladipo, you know, at that stage, I mean, it's a long list. If you're
Oladipo's
going after
a big
one of those,
fish now? Is that what
that?
We're doing? Oladipo's a big fish now? Is that what we're doing?
I think he was getting close to it, but I don't know how he's going to come back from the injury. But I think he was getting close to it. I mean, he was an all-star. I mean, if he was healthy, would he not be in somewhere in the same category as Bradley Beal or close? I mean,
I personally don't think so. I know people are like think that, but I don't think so. But
I think Beal's better, but I don't think the difference is that great.
I think Beal's better than Jimmy Butler right now. I don't know where Beal ranked in the SI rankings over Butler.
Well,
but
no,
I know he
wasn't top 20, which stunned me. He was not top 20, which he should absolutely be. That was completely unfair. I would absolutely have Bradley Beal in the top 15. He was 25-5-5 last year. With Dwayne,
I think Bradley
Beal's
better
Dwayne's
than John Wall,
twice.
Like healthy John Wall.
Yeah, I know. I agree. And I think Bradley Beal may ultimately be here, and I think it may not take as much to get him as you think if he makes it clear internally that he's not staying there. And we see now, look what's going on in the NFL, man. That trend is not changing. Like, players are making it very
Jalen
clear.
Jalen Ramsey, stay home, dude. Stop. Yeah, come on, man.
Go.
We
there
went through
go.
Battles together. Why are you leaving us?
All right,
bad,
that's it. All right, you can find them at GDavis103. Again, a lot of the Heat Beat guys will be contributing as long as I can tolerate G, if he's going to be the point person on this. So follow him at GDavis103. Alf and I will be back, maybe with Alex, maybe not, to get into what we see as the last two issues of camp, one of which is going to be rebounding and interior defense, and the other is shooting. So we'll sort of break it down from more of an X's and O's perspective in the next episode. I'm not sure what we just did, but it was fun. G, thanks for joining me.
Thank you, sir. Anytime.